Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is the least of all seeds. And when it's sown, it looks like nothing. But after a while, it grows to be the greatest of all. Ah, Jesus. Do you know what that tells you? It means that many times the things of the kingdom, you have a tendency to despise it. See, oh my God. There is a tendency to be carried away because of how it looks at the beginning. I discovered that God, my God, He can toss something very amazing to you. He can toss something that will reshape an entire century in 1 second. I'm telling you. God can throw something at you, that in 1 split second, you can receive something that will reshape the next 100 years of your life. That's why when you come to the house of God, you don't play. See, we are not here to play. We are not playing here. I'm telling you. We may look like we are young and, oh, we are trying to raise a church. Listen, a church is a vehicle for something else. It's a vehicle for something else. It's a vehicle for destiny in God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you receive everything that we came for this conference with, in fact, if you receive what we came with as a ministry, your life will change. I'm telling you. No, it has to change. Because I came with the blessings of the riches of the gospel of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I look back at my life and my walk with God, and I see how that, have I ever experienced a statement like this? If I knew what you know now, I would not be where you are. I'm telling you. Oh, I look back and I'm like, if I had more revelation, the things that God was doing that time, is now I'm understanding how serious, how powerful, how great it was. And in today's meeting, your life will shift. Amen. You know what I've come to discover? Oh my God. Two people can be at the same place, under the same encounter, and have two different experiences. In John chapter 12, you know that story where Jesus said, glorify thy name. And God replied, I have glorified it. And there were people there. Some said it thundered. And others said it was an angel. So some people were in that same place. Some heard thunder. Others knew that this thing was more than thunder. I pray for you this morning. Your eyes are open to see. Your ears are open to hear. In the name of Jesus. Your eyes are open to see. Your ears are open to hear. In the name of Jesus. If you are that type that is always carried away, walking around, distracted, there are many things you will not pick. That's the truth. That's the truth. How many of you know this name, Enya? Oh, you think that sound is normal? Hey. And I was talking with a great man of God in this country one time, and he said, when you get to a certain level in ministry, no matter what it costs, ensure that everybody around you, your closest people to you, anyone that plays keyboard for you, that sings with you, that walks around you, that designs for you, all of them must be people who are prayer partners with you. I said, why? He said, there are many things that you want to communicate, only your spirit can tell them. Yes, I was like, interesting. We have had our church design team. Sometimes they tell me that some of their most powerful designs came after prayer meeting. Already has told me that. Some designs for this service, they are trying to get the idea as they pray in tongues. And when they send that one to pastor, exactly what I'm trying to portray. Tell your neighbor, be spiritually minded. You know the Bible says, to be spiritually minded is life. 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 Meaning, if you are really going to live your life the way God wants it to be, you must be spiritually trained. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You must be spiritually trained. There are many things that, let me tell you, do not have natural explanation. They don't have natural explanation. I was in a meeting last year, and a man of God was giving a testimony about, why am I talking about this? Maybe God wants to talk to somebody. He was giving a testimony about Pastor Nathaniel Bassey. Many people don't understand how the spirit realm works. Oh, you think somebody will just sing? Can we bet? We can bet that there are people in this country that sing better than him. True or false? There are people that go to Nigeria Project Fame. You will hear voice. Who knows what I'm talking about? Go to The Voice Nigeria, all those MTN Project Fame. You will hear voice. You will wonder, names like they, voice they like this. It's not about voice. There is more. So this man of God was saying he was in a vision. He was praying and slept and had a trance. And in the trance, he saw an alabaster with a chain around his waist, connected to different bags of money. Bags of money with chains, long chains. And he said, God, what does this mean? He said, behold a man of sacrifice. He said, what out of sacrifice relate to chain? And he said, see. You see, those monies you are seeing are seeds he has sown in people's lives many years ago. Givings he has done. Sacrifices he has made. That is why his sound can never go down. I'm like, wow. So now, you are hearing sound. In the spirit, you are hearing sacrifice. And you don't know why a sound will just hit you. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about giving away. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about the influence of the spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to get you to give. Praise Jesus. So you have to take your spirituality serious. You have to take your walk with God serious. It influences much more than you know. It influences much more than you do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So are you ready this morning?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Yesterday, we said the refreshing emphasizes three major things. Number one, times and seasons in God. And prophetically, we are positioning this program now because we sensed a time of refreshing coming in the month of April. Praise the Lord. A shift in the spirit. A change of level, a shift. The Bible says, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord is telling me to tell somebody, you have been sleeping too much. It's time to wake up. And when I'm talking about sleep, not physical sleep, you have been sleeping spiritually. This meeting is to wake you up. To wake you up. Have you seen that phrase of the Bible that says, I am dead to sin, alive to God. Dead to sin, alive to God. When, you know, I was talking about the worship. When worship is going on, look at the anointing. Let me tell you something. When I came in, as the worship started, there was an anointing in this place. Very strong. How can that anointing be going on and somebody is just distracted? No, that means it's either you are more alive to the world and docile to God. That's serious. The same way a person is finding it difficult to respond in worship is the same way he will be finding it difficult when God is talking. Praise the Lord. Times of refreshing refers to times and seasons. Refreshing refers to times and seasons. Number two, we said refreshing refers to emphasis of doctrinal conviction. Say after me, doctrinal conviction. Say after me, doctrinal conviction. And refreshing also refers to the move of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so, this morning, I'm going to be re-emphasizing a doctrinal conviction, a doctrinal truth. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, I've titled it The Present Truth. Say after me, The Present Truth. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 12. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Look at this. Can we read this verse together? 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So there is something called the present truth. Are you following this? There is something called the present truth. And now, the Apostle Peter, he's saying it will be negligence on my part if I don't put you always in remembrance of these things. Remember yesterday that the reason why people don't do the word of God is because they forget what manner of men they are. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know it. And now I want you to be established in the present truth. Now, for him to use that word present truth, it means there are some truths that are past. So there are things that were true, but are no longer true. So they cannot fall under the present truth. For instance, some years ago, if you asked, who is the president of Nigeria? And you said, the president is President Olusegun Obasanjo. You would have been very correct. But you see, that's no longer the truth. It was true, but it's no longer the truth. It's not the present truth. Praise the Lord. In the same way, there are things that were true spiritually, but are no longer true. So God wants you to be established in the present truth, in the updated truth. And when you study the Bible, that's why there's something called Old Testament and New Testament for a reason. There are some things that were true, but are no longer true. And God wants you to be established in what is currently true. And so it means that we need to have consistent meetings to remind ourselves. To remind ourselves. And I'm going to show you later in this teaching why this is important. Praise the Lord. So quickly, what is the present truth? The present truth is the revelation of our present day reality or implication of Christ's work. Let me go over that again. The present truth is the revelation of our present day reality or implications of Christ's work. Can you say after me? The present truth is the revelation. The present truth is the revelation of our present reality or implications of Christ's work. You know, you can also put it like this. It is the up-to-date revelation of ourselves and what we have because of what Christ has done. So Christ's work must account for something. Are you with me? The work of Christ must account for something. Praise the Lord. For instance, the Bible says in the Old Testament that the high priest usually once every year will take the blood of a one-year-old lamb and go into the Holy of Holies and offer blood on the mercy seat. And when the sins of the people have been covered for 1 year, he comes out and decrees blessings on the people. Are you with me? And that's what they did every year. So on that day of atonement, everybody gathers to the front of the temple and the high priest goes inside. He goes with the blood of this one-year-old lamb, pours it upon the mercy seat. And if it is successfully delivered, he comes out saying, rejoice. Everybody's rejoicing and he begins to decree blessings upon them. But do you know that that's not the way God deals with sins anymore? It has changed. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says that when Christ died, you see that in Matthew chapter 27 from verse 51, is that when he gave up the ghost, that the curtain in the temple, the veil in the temple that separated that Holy of Holies and the other part of the temple, it tore from top to bottom. Hiya kapalia kata. Oh my God. That's a sermon of his own. When Christ died and gave up the ghost, the Bible says the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. This is a sermon of his own. I'm telling you. Can you imagine? If it stopped from the bottom to the top, we would have said it was a man that did it. But when it stopped from top to the bottom, it was God saying, I'm no longer hidden. Oh my God. Before, it was only the high priest that could go into that Holy of Holies. Now, God tore it from top to bottom saying, all of you can come in. Glory! Are you following this? Yes, sir. And that accounts for something. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can dwell on it again. It felt like God was saying, do you realize that even at this point, Christ had not even resurrected. He just died. So God was so eager to reveal himself. He couldn't wait. Immediately Christ died, he says the veil has been torn. He tore it open and said, come. Glory! No wonder the Bible says, now let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because the veil has been taken away. So now we have access. See, after me, I have access to God. I have unrestricted access to God. I have unrestricted access to God. Glory! Hallelujah. Now, just the same way the high priest entered, and came out with blessings. Now, every time we appear before God's presence, we can come out with blessings. And remember, in the Old Testament, that lamb was 1 year old, but our own lamb is an everlasting lamb. Glory. So his covering is not just for 1 year. It covers us for eternity. Are you seeing this? What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you how the work of Christ is influencing what we experience every day currently. Our present truth has changed. Praise the Lord. So now, when you study the Bible and study the New Testament, you will see that this was one of the major things the apostle was trying to reveal to the church. So now look at Ephesians 2. Just based on what I just said. Ephesians chapter 2. So now we all have access to God, not only the high priest. Ephesians 2 from verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Are you seeing this? Say after me, I've been brought close by the blood of Christ. I've been brought close by the blood of Christ. I am close to God. Actually, right now, we are where he is. We have been born into the presence of God. The Bible says in John chapter 14 from verse 6, Jesus speaking, says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So now, Jesus was the real high priest. Kapataya. He was the real high priest. So when he died and went to the real temple in heaven, he went with his blood, opened that veil, and because we are in him, wherever he is, we are there right now. Let me tell you, this is something to know as a reality. You may have heard it before, like we just read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. You may have heard it before. They may have taught you before. But Peter is telling you, you must know it as your present truth. Now, you know, how can I be in the presence of God and demonic spirits are after me? How can I be living in that presence? Say after me, the present truth. And now, you see, the implication of this means that if it was the high priest that entered, and now all of us are not permitted to enter, that means we have all become priests. Are you following this? We have all become priests. No wonder. 1 Peter chapter 2. You will see it say from verse 5. It says, ye also as lively stones, a holy priesthood, you offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. It says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Peter was writing to the whole church. Are you seeing this? Say to me, I'm a priest unto God. I want to hear your voice louder. I'm a priest unto God. You see, this is an implication of the finished work of Christ. You see, it's a present truth. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the high priest that went in, and now we are in him. So, in him, we can offer our spiritual sacrifices by him. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We have some verses to rejoice about there. Ephesians 2 from verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Say, I mean, I'm made nigh by the blood of Christ. Can I tell you something? Why is this important? Because maybe I'm jumping the gun. There are many times where you will need this. There are many times where you will feel far from God. There are many times where you will feel like, what if God has pushed me away? No, he cannot just wake up in the morning and push you away. There was a legal sacrifice done to bring you close. Are you getting this? There was a serious work done to bring you close. It says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ, verse 14, for he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Yes. So no more, Who knows that song? No more veil, no more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face. The price has been paid. The blood has made a way for me. I can now see Jesus face to face. Do you know what this means? See, let me tell you something here. But see, the apostle knew what they were saying. If you really understand this present truth, it changes everything. Now, if the blood of Christ made a way for you into the Holy of Holies, how much more the blood of Christ making a way for you in Nigeria? Hey, Jesus. If the blood can break open earthly tabernacles, heavenly tabernacles, how much more this country is too small? Tell me, there is a way for me. Remember, when the priest entered the temple and came out, he would decree blessings upon the people. He would tell the people, you are blessed in the field. His face shine upon you. You will prosper in your farm. You will prosper. And they will rejoice. And they knew. Now, they were so sure that if the priest entered the temple and came out, forget it. We are done for the next 1 year. For the next 1 year, we go blow. They were sure. And now you are still doubting your future with a stronger lamp. A lamb that is sacrificed covers eternity. How do I know? The Bible explains. Let me tell you something. God, Jesus. Remember yesterday we said that the times of repression come from the presence of God, right? God does not live in time. Time lives in God. So when the Bible says, and God became flesh, where was he? Was he in the past, present? No. Jesus Christ, you know, let me explain a little bit deeper. What's the difference between eternal life and everlasting life? In a generic sense, they are the same. Are you with me? But in a more specific sense, they are different. Eternal life has no beginning and no end. It is like a circle. It just continues. And that's where God lives. Only God has that. Are you with me? Eternity. No beginning. No end. It just goes on. In the beginning, God. That means he existed before the beginning. He's the one that determines when it's called beginning. In the beginning, God. So, eternity like that. But when men or angels or spirits partake of that, it's called everlasting. Because it has a beginning and has no end. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now, when you receive eternal life, the day you receive it, that's your everlasting life has started. Yes, so it is everlasting. Yes, sir. Do you get that? Yes, sir. So when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, it was actually God incarnate, coming as flesh. That means his blood was valid in the past, in the present, and in the future. That's why when that blood hits the ground, even people that believed in God in the past, the blood paid for them. So the graves opened. Yes, are you following this? Yes, I hope I'm not too high. No, how can that blood be paid for me? And I will live a normal life. That's why we are having Christ Life Conference. You see, you have to contend for your life not to be normal. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, it is my destiny to reveal the glory of Christ. To reveal the life of Christ. Glory! Say that the present truth. Hallelujah. In Lagos, I'll be teaching the hope of his calling. Session 1. I cannot be normal. I will not live this life. I will not come and go like I did not receive eternity inside me. I will not leave this. I will not come and go like Christ did not do anything. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to James chapter 1 that we looked at yesterday. James 1 from verse 18. Fun fact, James is one of my best books of the Bible. The book of James. Ah, my God. Even though God has not led me, I would have named one of my children James. I'm telling you. That book, I'm tempted to say, let's read from James 1 verse 1 and read to this point. Okay, let's do small. James 1 verse 17. James 1 verse 17. My God. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. And if God is my Father, that means I'm already implicated. My nature, my gene is light. He comes from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness. Meaning, he's not one thing today and a different thing tomorrow. Neither shadow of turning. This verse, is a very, very... It will shake you to your bone. Do you know what it means? That there is no shadow of turning with God. If he's the Father of light, it's like the sun. Can the sun ever have shadows? Have you ever seen the shadow of the sun? Let me explain. So, why is there a shadow? It's because the light is beaming on me. And I am blocking the light. So there will be a shadow. But with the light itself have a shadow. Now, do you know what this means? There is another shadow of turning. I remember years ago studying this verse. It means that even if God turns his back on you, that back is light. Hey, Jesus. That back... So, something you say, God did not answer. Even what you think that it's wrong is actually a blessing. Everywhere around him is beaming forth light. Everywhere is beaming forth light. This is your destiny. You are part of this family. This is your heritage. He's the Father of lights. Say after me, my life reveals the light of God. Praise the Lord. Neither shadow of turning. Oh my God. So that means if there is any shadow in your understanding of God, it's not God, it's you. It's not God. So, you know, we say the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. That's just a childish way of explaining rotation. See, the reason there is night is because sometimes when the earth rotates and revolves, your place, your city backs the sun. And your city backing the sun that produces night is not because the sun has stopped shining. Aye. So that means in your life, if there is any darkness, it's not because God is not shining. Maybe you are not positioned properly. Praise the Lord. Say after me, I'm blessed. What I'm really waiting for is to take maybe like 10 years to get there. When we have taught the basics of the word of God generally, all the basics, I will now come for service and say, today we are doing Ephesians 1. And the whole service will preach just 5 verses. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what I like to do. Just break Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 3. The next service, Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 8. Do that one for another 5 years. But to get there, you have to see, there is something called spiritual enlightenment. For instance, we are still at this level where we are saying, well, we are telling people, raise your hand and worship. No, there's a level of revelation that we get in God. Nobody will disturb them. Nobody will need to say, do like this. No, you have been enlightened to God. So when we go through that process, we will know that oh, we have come this far. Let's go deeper. Go deeper, Papa. Praise the Lord. Verse 18, he now goes further. He says, of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. Yeah. This is something to shout about. Say after me, I am born of the word of truth. I am born of the truth. The word of truth gave birth to me. The nature of the word is my nature. Look at this. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So, oh my God. God wanted to reveal a different kind of his creatures. So when he created man, Adam and Eve and all of that and all of that, those were great, but it was not revealing the full extent of his nature. So how will I reveal myself like this? Okay, I'm going to do it in the new redemption, where I will not just give birth to them by creating them with sand. I will give birth to them with my word. Because my word is carrying my nature. Are you with me? Yes, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Why? Why did he do it? That we should be a kind. Yes, a specific type. A unique type. That we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. That means the born again Christian is God's joker plan. It has been his plan from the very beginning to reveal a kind. Oh my God. Oh my God. No wonder they looked at Jesus and said, what manner of man is this? You know what he did? Jesus was the prototype of the kind of man. Oh my God. Remember, how was Christ born? It was the word of God that was sent to Mary that gave birth to the child. Now, the born again Christian was born of the word of truth. I'm dropping serious things here. I wish you are collecting it. So God's plan was to give birth to me with his word so that I will be a type of his creatures. So the type he has been trying to reveal from the beginning that did not find full expression, now it has come by me. Oh, shout glory! Let me tell you something. One of my questions that, one of the biggest questions or my questions that has propelled this style of ministry, I used to ask myself, when will we start living the Christian life? Do you understand that question? Yes, how long are we going to be going to church and people are not revealing this thing? And I have other questions like this. When are we going to be unpacking the Bible? Ay, Jesus. Do you know how painful it feels when you bought 13 gig data and you were so busy that it expired before you were able to use it? Ah, God forgive MTN. They will not tell you, buy 1 gig to roll over. I've bought it. It has never rolled over. I don't know why. Maybe I'm the one doing it wrongly. I don't know. But it has never rolled over. That's how people will feel. You will get to heaven and discover that all these treasures were never unpacked. Are you with me? You know the pain. You know the way it's paining you. Imagine having that kind of pain for eternity. That's why I take my time to unpack scriptures like this. So that you will not go to heaven and you see two believers in heaven, maybe John Wesley and George Whitefield, talking about James 1 verse 18, and you're like, I never heard there was such a verse. When I saw 1 Peter 1:23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, my head wanted to burst. I say, hey, I was born of an incorruptible seed. Hey, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Do you know what this means? But of incorruptible, by the word of God. That means the word of God gave birth to me. Let me tell you something. When you begin to study the Bible, something will just fall in place. Now, if he says you are born of incorruptible seed, how can an incorruptible seed go to hell? How will it survive? So many things, so many questions. That's why I like to teach. Praise the Lord. Go back to James 1, please. Say after me, I receive. Say after me, I receive. I receive the word of God. I receive the word of God. Of his own will. I told you James is my best book. Any place you open in James, I can start a sermon from there. Anywhere. James 1, James 2, 3, 4, 5. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind. Say after me, I'm a unique kind of God's creature. Because the word of God gave birth to me. Some of you are not talking. I'm a unique kind of God's creatures. Because the word of God gave birth to me. The word of God produced me. Glory! Verse 21. Therefore receive with meekness. Wherefore lay apart every superfluity of naughtiness. Every filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. When I read these King James expressions, I'm like, how can somebody be so naughty? Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. But can I shock you? Some people are like this. Maybe even worse. Maybe if it's me that will lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and stubbornness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, you know, when you get born again, now pay attention. When you get born again, the work of Christ is perfected in your spirit. The salvation plan of God is ratified and perfected where? In your spirit. However, for the work of Christ in your spirit to come into your daily manifestation, your soul must be saved also. So now, your spirit is saved, your soul is being saved, and your body shall be saved. Let me explain. So, when you get born again, your spirit man is perfected and born again by the Holy Spirit in there. Are you with me? But your soul, which is the bridge, must be transformed by the word of God. The transformation by the word of God is called the saving of the soul. And how will it happen? It will happen when the word of God is engrafted. There are two words, there are two explanations or illustrations I can use for engrafted. So now, in a plant, maybe in agriculture, you have an orange tree. And the orange is bringing bitter orange. Experts will tell you that they can cut the stem of a sweet orange and tie it. And it will now begin to produce. Are you with me? According to the nature of this new stem. So he's telling you that the word of God can be so planted in you that you will begin to produce according to the nature of the word of God. So now, even though your spirit is saved, your soul must be saved by the word of God to be grafted inside so that the nature of God in your spirit can flow out. That soul is the link. The saving of the soul. This morning when I was coming for this service, as I prayed, I heard the word of the Lord. He said, teach. Teach them. Teach it hard. Teach. Be loud about it. Emphasize it again. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, remember, I told you, feed my sheep. So this is the problem with many Christians. Their spirit man is saved. Their soul is unsaved. And they live as though there was nothing in their spirit. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Glory! Glory. Hallelujah. The only illustration I use for engrafting is when, you know, there are some walls, when they want to write on it, they literally graft. Are you with me? They chisel out the words on it. Make it permanent. In the same way, we are here to enforce something on your spirit, man. See, oh my God. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed. Romans 12 from verse 2. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed. We can read the Bible sometimes and carelessness will not even make us see. Do you know what it means when the Bible says the secret of transformation? Be ye transformed. That means if you can change your mind, if the word of God can renew your mind, you will be so transformed. Say, I choose transformation. Hey, Jesus. I choose transformation. That's why every time I have the privilege to handle a mic and preach before people, you cannot come and go the same way you came. No, you must hear what you have never heard before. You must hear something that if you hold that, it will carry you, I'm telling you. So go back to James chapter 1. James 1 from verse 21 now. Which is able to save your souls. Glory. 22. He says, be ye therefore doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man, unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Hey. Oh my God. The problem with Christians is here. Let me ask you a question. Can you remember all the sermons you have been taught? Just imagine. Imagine every single powerful sermon you have heard. You practiced. It was so strong in your mind. It became part of your life. Where do you think you'll be today? He says, for he beholdeth himself. Now, are you seeing the flow of thought? So because you are born of the word of truth, the word of the truth is now your nature. Anytime you open the Bible, it's your personal manual. This is who you are. It's a revelation of your identity. It says, for he beholdeth himself. Every time I open the Bible, I told you, that means, some Sundays ago, we said, when you study the Bible and look at Jesus, he's not just an example for us, but an example of us. He's called prototype. The Greek prototokos. So when God brought Christ, he was saying, this is the order. This is the pattern. People of God, imagine Jesus was a graphic designer. Hey, God. Imagine Jesus was a computer analyst, was a data scientist. That's the end. Hey, God. Just imagine. But guess what? It's not something to imagine. It's something for you to live. It's your destiny. And guess what? You see these teachings we are doing? This is the basic part of it. This is the first level, the first layer of training into it. So now we say when you study the Bible, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now everybody, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not the forgetful hearer, but the doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Glory. Glory! Oh, so this is the secret. If you look into the perfect law for free men, if you look into the perfect law that makes men free, first of all, there are different levels. When you look into it the first time and receive the word of salvation, it is the word that makes you free. So now, when you keep on looking into it, it is the word for free men like you. Pastor, I'm going through generational things in my family. Pastor, generational causes in my family. Hey, are you born again? If you are born again, he's saying that you should go back and look into the perfect law for free men. Are you with me? Go back and look at it. Go back and look at it. What has he said about you? And refuse to forget it. Whenever the devil comes, let me tell you something. Have you been in this state before where you were on fire for God, then you face the challenge and it looked like you forgot everything you know? You are denying me. Some people, somebody was narrating to me how he was tempted to fall into a particular kind of sin. I said, at that moment, it was as if everything Christian in his head cleared out. All I was left is, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? You see the problem? They forget. But there is a way it will enter. He be not a forgetful hearer. He will just know. Lester Sumrall, of blessed memory, the great man of God. He said, many years ago, is it Lester Sumrall of Smith Wigglesworth? I think it's Lester Sumrall. One day, he was in his house. And he began to hear noise downstairs. So he went downstairs and said, what is going on? There was no light. And he just felt somebody pushing the chairs and scratching everywhere. And he put on his light and saw this strange looking being with horns. Physically in his house. So he said, what are you doing here? He said, we have come to kill you. He said, I haven't thought it was somebody serious. He said, when you are done, arrange my parlor back. When you are done, arrange my parlor back. Am I clear? I went back and slept. The question is, what did he know? Are you with me? What did he know? Let me tell you something. You may have heard before that the devil is under your feet, but are you a forgetful hearer? You may have heard before the devil is under your feet, but you go there and say, ah, hey, hey, me, me, oh, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, where is the oh, yeah? You throw, I remember one time in school, they were casting out demons. And see, the power of God is first of all a thing of revelation. Prayer is a platform to release bullets. Aye. The revelation is actually the bullets inside. A gun without bullets has no power. If you are a person of prayer and you don't have bullets inside, the gun can be hot, but nothing to shoot. Oh my God. Am I talking to you this morning? So they were praying. The guy said, hey, what are we going to do? He now went and ran and brought anointing oil. And as he was trying to pour anointing on the demon, the girl took the oil, drank it, and gave her back the bottle. What will you do if that happens? Don't be a forgetful hearer. Let me tell you, this is the secret of maturity. If you are face to face with a problem, go back. Whoso looketh into the perfect law. So, you wake up, you have some kind of funny dreams, nonsense dreams about your life. You stand up and say, I am born of God. I am of the family of light. Darkness cannot stay around me. This is my present truth. Are you following me? You just discovered that 3 weeks has gone. No money around you. Everywhere dry, like Sasso Rock. Ah, what is going on? How can dry like those mountains? Now, when I say Sasso Rock, I'm talking about the villa. No, I'm talking about the rock itself. Go, aye, Jesus. You want to know what dry is? Just go and do hiking more. Then now I can relate with what Ezekiel said. The bones were very dry. Aye, Jesus. I don't know why people don't dance in the rain in Abuja. With the kind of sun I've seen in this place, remain small. The next time rain falls, I will run outside. I'll run outside and say, Jesus, you are good. You look at your pocket, very dry, open. Go back to the law of liberty. Let me tell you something. When the word of God is beginning to hit you, it's almost like magic. What's the connection? That word of God it will change you to a different kind of person. Hey, God, it will change you to a different kind of person. It will change you to a different kind of person. After a while. So now, you may finish studying your Bible, declaring the word of God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And to you, you may not see the connection. Then you step out and somebody just says, oh, let's just go to this place. Let's just go. And from there, something happens and some change has come to you. You will think, oh, it's not related. Oh, it should not be related now. You may think it's not related. It's related, sir. Why did the person come at that time? Why did you move us at that time? So people, they are always in the wrong frequency. They only come when the blessing has finished. He just passed here. Oh. This man just passed here. Oh. Are you serious? If you came earlier, if you just came 1 minute earlier, you would have met him. Why are they like that? You know why? The word of God is not programming them. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Tell neighbor, look into the perfect law of liberty. Glory. So quickly, how do we know the present truth? You know the present truth by looking at who Jesus is. In fact, I dare say you know who you are by knowing who he is. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 9. I know I am flogging the word of God. Some of you are like, oh, Mordy preaching long over my head, one boss. Hey, it will burst and burst into greatness. The same person saying that, oh, Mordy's preaching. That's the person that will watch 2 hours to him say, I must finish it. This night, I must finish it. And you are looking like this. Something that will take you backwards spiritually. Take, aye, Jesus. There is something I call binge. Who knows what is binge? You stretch yourself to stay all night on something. Let me tell you, as a Christian, you must have times for binging on God. Binging on God. You have to do it. If not, this world, the carnality in this world is enough to distract you. And not just even on your walk with God. As you grow in your walk with God, God will begin to teach you some other things. He will start training you how to binge on the place of your greatness. This is a different subject, but the Bible says, see thou a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings, right? Yes, now, as you walk with God, God will begin to show you what is your business. Many people, they are doing things that is not their business at all. So that means hard work will not even work for them because it's not their business. They have no business being there. God has called, your own destiny is business. You say, oh, your own destiny is music. You say, oh, my own a fashion designer. Don't worry, you will labor, you will not see anything. Are you with me? Some of you, God has said, go and join Pastor David and be a minister of the gospel. Let's send you to Kabusa to preach. You say, no. I want to be selling this. Don't worry. Whoever I spoke to, it looks like it's Kayode. Where is Kayode? Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 from verse 9. Are you blessed this morning? Now, I know I've said a lot of things. Do you know what you will do for me? Go back and break it down. Listen to it. Break it down into smaller pieces. Are you with me? Break it down into smaller pieces and receive it again. Colossians 3 verse 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, what does this mean? He says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put up the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is refreshed or renewed in where? Knowledge after the image of him that created him. God knows why he made King James popular. I'm telling you, King James is not the first translation. No. King James is like the 12th. One of the first major English translations is Wycliffe. After Wycliffe, you have Moffat, you have... But is it King James? I respect them. For many things, they tried. All is not... They made mistakes, but they tried in many places. They tried. He says, and I put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So this is what he's saying. He's saying that when you get born again, you have actually put on a new man. But this new man will only be renewed when you start learning about the person that created him. So, the more you learn about Christ, the more your new man that you are in Christ receives renewal. Jesus. So, he's saying, the more you learn about Christ, the more yourself becomes refreshed. So, this is the bone of contention. There are many believers who have put on the new man, but they are not learning about the person who created them. So they are not renewed in knowledge. They are not refreshed. So he's saying that when you get renewed, your renewal is in knowledge. As you begin to learn about Christ, you are changing. It's a spiritual principle. We all with open face behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass. We are changing to the same image, right? Yes, you see 1 John chapter 3. It says we don't know what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Can we rush there? 1 John 3 verse 2. It says, now, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him. Pause. So, I like the way the Bible is structured. A layman can study it and find truth. He says, we shall be like him. Why are we going to be like him? For we shall see him as he is. Oh, so this is a secret of change. Anytime you are able to see him as he is, you change. Did you get what I just said? Yes, sir. Somebody say, oh, Pastor, why won't everybody change? Why won't the unbelievers change? The truth is, if the unbelievers can see him as he is in the preaching of the gospel, they will change. Do you get it? But at the coming of Christ, it is only those who are already one with him in the spirit. When we see him, we change. In the same way as if we see the Lord, we are changing. The more we see the Lord, we are changing. So as a pastor, I have a job to come every service and say, hey guys, look at something about Christ. And when you see it, you change. Look at this about Christ. And when you see it, you change. Look at Christ in his prosperity and you see it, you change. Look at Christ in his dominion. You see it, you change. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So, quickly as I begin to round up, why don't people live in the realities of Christ? Why do people not live in the present truth? Number one, they don't know. Number one, they don't know. Number two, they don't meditate. They don't meditate. They don't meditate. So now, they hear the word of God, but the word of God has not entered. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth what? Light. So you can hear, but it has not entered. When it enters, say, hey, this one, you cannot sit down, no? Hey, you cannot sit. I cannot forget where I was. And let me tell you, for it to enter, you have to pay attention. Do you know what it is to, for instance, when you go to school, when your children go to school, do you know how long it will take for your child to be able to say A and write A? Because if you break that child's head open, you will not see anywhere they wrote A. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All the things you know now in your life, if they break your skull open, they will not see it. You know, so they did a research on Einstein's brain. And they took a normal brain and did a research on Einstein's brain. Albert Einstein. And they were trying to observe, is there anything that happened biologically to the brain? Guess what? The brains were the same. So how come? You see, it is attention. Because let me tell you something. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the difference between the brain and the mind? Let me make it easier for you. Brain is hardware, mind is software. It is the software that makes the difference. That's why the Bible does not say renew your brain. It says renew your mind. Are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Renew your mind. And renew your mind is so serious because now, when you get born again, that renewal of the mind is like a gateway to the possibilities of your spirit. It's as though when the mind is renewed, poof, the work of God in your spirit can open up. Praise the Lord. Meditation. Number two, they lack spiritual devotion. Number three, please. They lack spiritual devotion. Because sometimes, for you to understand spiritual truth, your spirit man must be charged. Prayer, worship, spiritual devotion, prayer. So the first one, why don't people walk in these realities? Number one, they don't know it. Number two, they don't meditate. Number three, they lack spiritual devotion. If you know how much you need to pray. As you are praying, then you hear the word of God. You are praying, you hear the word of God. After a while, it's called your eyes of understanding enlightened. You just see. I remember where I was. You know, even under spiritual devotion, some simple things like re-listening to messages, reading the Bible. I cannot forget where I was sitting down and I read, for you are members of his bones and of his flesh. It was like they pierced something inside of me. I was running everywhere shouting. You know, in our day, social media has done us bad, you know. Hey, God, if you know what social media has done to us, it has brought a lot of good, but a lot of bad. It has brought a lot of good, and we are grateful for it. Are you with me?
Yes,
even though for social media, some of you will not be following this meeting right now. But social media has brought us, it has made us a distracted generation. Hi, Jesus. It's difficult for people to sit down and read. And let me tell you, your spirit man needs that calmness. You see, that entrance of the word of God, do you know? Some Christians today have never had this experience I want to share, where they were reading your Bible. Or let me ask, have you ever experienced something where you were reading your Bible and it's as if something from the Bible jumped and entered you? And you're like, hey! I remember that day, I've shared that testimony. I was running everywhere. I'm a member of his bones, of his flesh. I'm a member. It entered. And some 2-3 years after, I was in Lagos. I've shared that testimony. I was in Lagos. at somewhere around Getu Magodo. And I was sleeping in the night. And one day, that night, at around 12 midnight, I was not dreaming. I was not sleeping. I was wide awake. Tell your neighbor, wide awake. I was what? Wide awake. And I felt a presence, a person that I could not see, walked through the door. The door was closed, but he walked. Bam, I heard footsteps. Walked to the door, came to my neck, and held it. Ha! I kid you not. Now, if I'm lying, God knows. Are you with me? Yes, sir. I'm not trying to make this sermon sweet, though. I'm telling you what I experienced. Life. I was holding my neck like this. And I was feeling his body, fighting with him. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. He would press the neck, like trying to strangle me. That continued to 12:45. After a while, it was as though I felt someone just whisper to me, "You are a member. You are a member of his flesh." And of so it is the word that entered that time. You are a member. You are a member. And from the recesses of my spirit, I screamed, "I'm a member!" There was no even time for me to scream, "I'm a member of his flesh." Because you see, in the spirit, it's not about words. It's about revelation. Are you with me? Yes, it's not first about words. It's about revelation first. I screamed, "I'm a member!" And like wind, that guy disappeared. Ha! You know that I was awake till about 2. Because I couldn't believe what just happened. In the morning, I ran upstairs. I ran to the family that I was staying with. I said, "Mommy, my brother, did you hear me shout in the night?" These guys heard nothing. I said, "Wait, all the at least you should have heard I'm a member." They did not hear anything. I said, "Wait, now so will they take die?" Just like that. If you faint in the day of adversity, strength is small. Let me tell you, at every point in our life, we need to sit down, go back. Go back to the truth. Let things enter you. There's some of us, when last did we have such experience? It's a long time. They lack spiritual devotion. And finally, they don't act on the word. They don't act on it. Say to me, "I am what God says I am. I accept the present truth. I am what God says I am. I accept the present truth. Glory! I am born of God. I live in the presence of God." Hallelujah. Guess what? I just finished the introduction. I saw somebody's mouth like this. "Hey, Pastor David, you want to kill us? You want to give us constipation?" No. Hallelujah. So just write this down. The Christian is born of God. He has the life of God. The Christian lives in the presence of God. The Christian is a new creature. The Christian has defeated the devil. And number 5, the Christian does not have a life of his own. These are just some simple bites of the present truth. Are you with me? I'm just trying to summarize that. And what I wanted us to do is small Bible study. I should come again, right? The Christian is born of God, meaning he has the life of God. The Christian lives in the presence of God. We live in the presence of God. The Christian is a new creature. The Christian has defeated the devil. He has the authority of Christ. And number 5, the Christian doesn't have a life of his own. This is just a short summary of some of our present truths. There are many others. The Christian is born of God. He has the life of God. The Christian lives in the presence of God. The Christian is a new creature. The Christian has defeated the devil. The Christian doesn't have a life of his own. Hallelujah. I'll give an assignment. So when you study Colossians and Ephesians, check for the places it talks about Christ and the places it talks about you. And you'll notice a pattern there. So let's try something. 5 minutes. Let's try something. Now, if you study Ephesians 1 from verse 15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him by the Spirit, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, when you read this, you would think that he's just talking about praying for you to get information about Christ. You would think that he's just saying, oh, I'm praying for you that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, what the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when raising from the dead. So it looks as though he's just talking about Christ, Christ, Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? It looks as though he's praying that you will just have information about Christ. But you have to read it into the next chapter to see what he's trying to do. So he's going to the next verse, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He now says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened. So what is he saying? He's trying to say, you need to know all of this about Christ to know who you are. So the reason why Christ was raised from the dead is so that you will be quickened from spiritual death. Are you getting this? You will discover that even in the book of Colossians, even in the book of Colossians, you will see this same pattern too. Colossians 1, from verse 9, it says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bring fruit in every good work. He begins to talk about Christ. Goes on. He says, who are delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Glory! Glory. Even the forgiveness of sins. He goes on talking about Christ. He says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. And he's just talking about Christ, talking about Christ, talking about Christ. Then he goes to verse 21 and says, and you, do you see that again? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So what is he trying to show you? He's showing you that everything that Christ became was because of you. Jump on your feet. Hi. Have you ever asked yourself, why did God highly exalt the name of Jesus Christ? Remember that when the apostles were on the earth, the Bible says that they said to Jesus, in thy name we cast out devils. So why did God have to exalt the name? It was because when they were on the earth, Jesus has not become one with us. What I'm about to say, you may understand it now, you may understand it later. When they were on the earth, Christ has not been exalted. Are you following me? Yes, but his name was powerful. But by the time he became one with us and died and was buried and the name was exalted far above, it was because we also received that authority. Yes, so now that he has been exalted far above all principalities, we are in him. The result of that exaltation is that we have all authority. Yes, say after me, I see myself in him. Exalt him right now. Thank him. I see myself in Christ. This is the present truth. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I look at the world. I look at who Christ is. And I know who I am.